And perhaps in our exercise of late, looking at God's person, ministry, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to represent all that God the Son has made possible on Calvary's cross, and all that God has made possible on Calvary's cross is to help us all that God the Father would have us understand about his awesome person. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to take all the Son has made possible and the Father to know him. The Spirit of God's ministry is to take all of our Creator and Savior and bring that to the head and the heart of a human being, that we can enjoy God in his totality. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here, as we've been looking at different books of the Bible, and here in the epistles, as in Galatians, so in Ephesians. And in Ephesians, there are 12 references to the Spirit of God's ministry. And this book of Ephesians is special because it isn't to a given city, a given group, Galatians, Colossians. It isn't to that. It's to believers. And Ephesians lifts it up to the top where God, what are you saying? I want you to understand all of the benefits that you have, all that you have right now because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of those benefits come out from God, from his holy, happy heaven. All of those benefits come. So, as you read the book of Ephesians and look at it and study it, keeping in mind, and I'll remind you and I'll do it again, remember, all the New Testament is all for believers. It isn't written for unbelievers. It isn't written to help people understand outside the church. It's to believers to understand inside the church. It's all about that relationship to Christ. So when people say, oh, I don't understand, it isn't written for people unless they're seekers or God-fearers. It isn't written for anybody. And you'll notice that everyone honors that because they don't read the Bible. They just don't read the Bible. Don't even think about the Bible because it isn't of interest to them. It isn't about them. So here in Ephesians, it's all about our heavenly relationship to God, when, here, and now. So therefore, when you look at Ephesians, keeping in mind its wonderful emphasis to help us understand. So when you read Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, not material blessings, spiritual blessings. And where are those blessings found? In heavenly places. How can we possibly have them? In Christ. When you receive Christ as your Savior, all of God's holy, happy heaven came into your heart. God brought heaven smack dab into your heart when you got saved. Heavenly blessings. Christ brings all of those wonderful blessings. So you can keep seeing it. Chapter 1 of our Lord. I'll read verse 12, if I can, picking up in verse 20. I'll get to read verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Which power, which working he wrought in Christ, over and over again. Paul uses that word in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. I think it's 80 times. Over and over and over and over, because that's the relationship. Thus, verse 19, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So it's because he's seated at the right hand of God, and that's where how we are to enjoy him. How so? Chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. That's where you are. That's what Ephesians, what are you trying to tell me, God? I'm trying to tell you, you have a unique, wonderful position in heaven, in Christ. And all of your resources and all of your riches are now found in heaven, in Christ. So when you're on your earthly journey, you have heavenly resources. That's what you do. Ephesians. And you know it. Raise us up together. Verse 6. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And again to see it in chapter 3. And in chapter 3, picking up these, if I may, in verse 10, to the intent, to the purpose, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So here's, and to put that together, go over to chapter 6. And verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So God, here's our heavenly position in God's holy grace and wisdom. Back over to chapter 3, verse 10. What are we doing? God has given us to be able to express our heavenly position, our heavenly riches, our relationship to Christ, to the principalities and powers of darkness that rule the heavens in the sense of the bad guys. What are you doing, God? You're taking the believer seated on earth, seated in a pew. I'm taking the believer sitting in a pew and showing the whole world of darkness, the principalities and powers. I'm showing what? I'm showing your position, not earthly, but heavenly, and your relationship to me. So I'll read verse 10 again. To the intent purpose that now, N-O-W, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, by means of the church, the body of Christ, the believers, the manifold wisdom of God in what he's doing. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. So God has given us an awesome, wonderful position. And that's the book of Ephesians. That's what it's all about. And to help us. Now, that's not very much understood, I don't think. Because you would see it more. You would understand it more. In the heavenly places of that. So the heavenly places are our resource. And to the bad guys that are out there in heavenly places, or on the whole universe out there. And in the process, God is going to go in his grace. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, God is going to go in his grace. Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is going to go. So therefore, now looking at what we're doing, Ephesians and chapter 1, verse 13, first reference, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we did all those things a bit ago in the process of looking at the Spirit of God's ministry. And what does he do? He's going to go and seal the believers in a most wonderful way to secure them, to show ownership, to show he's going to deliver them. That's what he's going to do. His job is to save us. Christ's job is to die for us. His job is to make all that real so that we're to enjoy, practice being saved. So God, here we and practice our resources, practice our relationship, and tie this together for the morning. It'll help. I know it will. So, in the process, in verse 14, the seal, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to seal us. And he, which is the earnest, the down payment, like putting a down payment down, the earnest money, to secure the object bought. Christ paid the price. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And so we're here, and no one can take us, no one can own us, no one can take you out of his hand, of John chapter 10. Why not? You can't. You're sealed up. You're sealed up, isn't it? I don't have an envelope out here, but you got the idea. I go and seal it up. Here's a seal. I take it. Here's the seal. Wrap it up. And no one can have that. You'd have to go through the Spirit of God to get it. You can't get it. It is to be delivered to God, into God's holy heaven, and no one can take it. You'll pick that up also in the morning, because God help us. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here we are looking, God, in the earnest money, the down payment money for what you're doing, so that you have the right for ownership, etc. And so therefore, looking, God, and the seal, over to Romans chapter 4, see it again. The seal of the Old Testament. Chapter 4, not quite the same, but the same. Chapter 4, verse 11. We received, I'll read verse 10. How was it then reckoned? Was it reckoned in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. That's what they're all saved. And he received, this is Abraham, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So God's able to save, and here in verse 11 again, to receive the sign of the circumcision, which was the seal of righteousness. In other words, you're going to believe God, and you're going to be marked and belong to the covenant, as it were. You're going to be sealed. God's going to seal you. The Spirit, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, the Spirit of God is going to go and seal the believer so that the believer is just untouchable in that sense. You can't go and do anything against him or whatever. And nothing's going to change. And just to drive that home, because it'll help. Over to Ephesians, over to John. And do it in order, I guess. John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, picking up, please, if I can, going to verse 18, and you'll notice, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you just want to take in your mind, if you can, he that believeth, verse 18, is not condemned, not judged. Okay, I got that. I was judged. I believed. I'm not judged. Not judged anymore, because I believed. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not condemned. No. And you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have everlasting life. And that's what you have. And you no more are condemned, and you no more are under the wrath of God. Christ became accursed for us and bore the curse in his own body on the tree. Chapter 6. And in chapter 6, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, absolutely, I will not cast him out. All that seek me, and you with all your heart, you'll find me. I will not turn you away. That's a guarantee. Not condemned, have eternal life. I cannot be rejected, sliding down to see it a little more. For I came, verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose just a few. But I didn't say that. No, why? Because you're saved by God's grace. You're saved by God's grace. We're dead. Guess God does something, we're just born dead. Born dead, like the sticks we had. You're born dead. Dead. That's what you're born. And there's nowhere to go. Leave God out. You're just dead. So, and therefore, lose nothing, but should raise again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make all of that super-duper real. And then back over to chapter 5. As you know, all of these, God is just, that's what the reason for the Gospel of John is, that you might believe. 99 times, believe. What do you, I'm telling you, 21 chapters, I want you to believe. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to give you 25 chapters. Just going to give you 21 chapters. I'm going to say it almost 100 times, say it to you. I told you to believe. I told you to believe. What can we do, God, to be saved? Believe me. What can we do to help you? Believe me. What can... believe me. Back to believe. So, chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and he shall not come into condemnation. Remember what you did in John 3:18? Not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life, eternal life. John 3:36. You have it. So you got it, gone. That's right, we did it. When did that happen? The moment you received Christ as your Savior. over to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, which we mentioned, you will note in verse, sliding over to context, chapter 10, and in verse 27, turn the page. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. So you're not condemned. You pass from death unto life. God said you're seated in heavenly places. You have an awesome position. You have an awesome position to enjoy, to exercise. That's your position. That's your privileged position. And it's very rarely practiced. Very rarely. If it was ever practiced among the churches and believers and schools, boy, would it be different. But it isn't. No, we have an intellectual bits and pieces that we use, our theology. But we need to have a biblical relationship, not a theological one. We need to have a living relationship, not an academic one. That's what we need. And without it, the academic one is considered enough to be a Christian. If you have the academic, that's good enough to be saved. The world says, they're content. So therefore, 27, I'll read it again because in case I missed it. Verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So it's an awesome relationship that you have, and you need to exercise that relationship in a way that honors God and enjoys God. That's what you need to do. It's just a fact of life, about the fact of heaven. So, back over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, in chapter 1, and you will note, in chapter 1, picking up, please, that the God, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him, God. Now, how can we have such wonderful truth? God, you want us to want. You want to have us to have knowledge. You want us to have illumination. How are we ever going to understand a language and an atmosphere? How can we earthlings understand heaven? How could we possibly do it? It's a whole nother realm, whole nother way. We couldn't possibly do it, God. So how are we going to do it? So we're going to have to God, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to help us have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. So God, he has to go and help us understand the Bible. Without him, we aren't going to do it. And you'll remember over in John chapter 14, and verse 16, 17, and thereafter, 26, what do you know? God the Father, and God the Son are going to send God the Holy Spirit to make possible, like we shared in the beginning, all the wonderful things that God's saving grace has made possible. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that real. without him, it's out of reach. You don't know it. You could talk and dream and write about it, but you could never know it. So, God, what are we going to do? The Spirit of God's ministry is to help us. Now, so that you have to get, you drive that home, Romans in chapter 8. Over in Romans in chapter 8, picking up, if I may, God's Spirit of God's ministry. Now, and so God helps us enjoy. How can we enjoy the truth of Romans 6, 7, and 8? It requires the Spirit of God. And you're going to make it clear, chapter 8, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, to be but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because, reason, the carnal mind, fleshly mind, is enmity, hostility, and enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And hang on to that in the morning. So then, verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot do that. So as long as you're in the old nature, your old nature will never, 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 even if it says, I'm committed to read the Bible, every verse, I read the whole Bible this year. I'm going to commit it. That's the flesh. See, I can do that. I'm going to commit it. I'm committed. I'm committed. I'm committed. That's the flesh. See, and we're going to do all that. And we do it. We could read the whole Bible. When it gets very good to do it, you know. But Spirit of God, are you going to drive this home? He said, you aren't going to enjoy all things work together for good, Romans 8, 28, without Romans in chapter 8, verse 9. Because the flesh, verse 8, Romans, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But, contrast, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make you alive. And you reckon yourself dead indeed in the sin. And you make, reckon, quicken, make you alive, and your body, your mortal bodies, by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the Spirit, I'll read that again. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry is to go and help us understand and grow and know. That's what his ministry is. And that's, so you got to, that's his, you leave him out. Not going to go very far. Or you could be a professor in the cemetery, a seminary. You could be a professor there. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you do. It's a difference. Difference, that's the flesh. I could write a whole book on the book of Ephesians in the flesh. I could do it. And I got all the books. I could write it. I know the language. I could do it. But I did it. The wonderful truth that I'm seated in heavenly places, that I'm seated there, I'm not going to know that. I can't know that. No. You have all, do it another way. We do it over the years. Every now and then out in front, not to say it out front, but you know what? You know, God and this awesome person, you're everywhere all at once. Mm-hmm. All at once. There's no way that you aren't. Everything in the 7 trillion galaxies, 780 trillion unknown galaxies, not with a B, but T, galaxies than the stars. The little universe, you're the little universe is in the middle of you. You're everywhere, all at once. Well, everywhere, all at once. To every person on planet Earth, to the middle of a person in India, in Africa, in New York City. You know everything going on everywhere all at once. Wow. That's true. You're able to say, it is all the angelic world, the good guys and the bad guys, all going on. You know that, yeah. There's nothing you don't know. You're conscious, Matthew chapter 10, you're conscious of every hair on our head. You're conscious. And when you receive him as your Savior, the God who I just tried to look at lives in your heart. And he's running all of the universes out there. Here, God. But where are you? Here. Here. You've been brought into a relationship to the God, that God. And God's running the universe from your heart, as it were. And that's awesome. So, God, who's going to take care of the flat tire? And you mentioned a flat tire in the light of the universe. And God said, the hair of your head, I know your hair's the head. And you're telling me about a flat tire. Your flat tire. You're worried about the flat tire. Flat tire. Why don't you just trust me? We'll work through it. And you'll walk all the way to the next gas station. That's what you'll do. Yeah. And now, so, in the process, God, you're going to go, and your Spirit of God's ministry is to help us understand your need. And, oh, but thank you for that. You know it, but I'll do it. Over to John. Why, I did that already. Because he's the Spirit of Truth. John 14, 16, 17, etc. He's the Spirit of Truth, and he's mentioned it several times. He's the comfort of the Spirit of Truth. Over to 2 Peter. Over to 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, if I may, and in chapter 1, 2 Peter and chapter 1. And we're looking, here we can, verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You have a wonderful, wonderful prophecy. You have God's word and the God who's going to fulfill it. Knowing, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private, personal interpretation. You don't have, I think it means this, or you can say whatever you want. You can say whatever, people do say whatever they want. They say it, it is. There is none. You can't take what God says and take God out of it. Take God out of Genesis. Take God out of Isaiah. Take God out of Peter. You got a bunch of words. Bunch of words. And we could all read them and go to school and graduate and be a professor, a pastor, and everything. Can do it all. But we have, that's all. You can't do it. What are you going to do? God, we can't do it without you. So therefore, reason 20, no any personal private interpretation. For reason, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, carried along by the Holy Ghost. God carried them, moved them, spoke to them. That's how they did it. And you did not see, you know, it's easy to see. Here's Moses. And what do you say, God, in Genesis, Exodus chapter 4, I will be with your mouth. You, and then of course, anyway, yeah, I'll be with your mouth. So, and how did you ever know all these things? How could Moses ever sit down? What library did Moses go to read Genesis chapter 1 and 2? Now, what library did he go to? And Moses isn't even alive. So he'd have to go to the library because he's not alive. Now, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to tell you, Moses, what to write. And I'm not going to give you a whole lot of stuff. I'm only going to give you Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And that's what I'm going to tell you. After that, I'm going to tell you about how I worked with four men and how history is going to evolve. I could have given you 10 more chapters because you have all the questions. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you raise your hand. Well, God, what did you mean? What are you saying? God said, that's all I'm going to tell you. Read it, thank me, and understand it as best you can, and relax, because that's all I'm going to tell you. But God, you got to tell me more. God said, no, I don't. I'll tell you what you need to know. And what we need to know, think of Ephesians, we just did, what we need to know. And here it is in black and white in your Bible. And the average dear person isn't enjoying the truth of Ephesians. They're not enjoying being in heavenly places. I just don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy it. See? So God, what do you want? More? I gave you super duper information and you don't do anything with it. It goes just a bunch of words, just something to talk about and debate and discuss to show we're religious. Got to be religious, you know. Got to be religious. So, okay, now, so therefore, I'll read verse 21 again. For prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, carried along by the Holy Ghost, and God has helped, encouraged, enabled the heart, abiding in God's wonderful power, and to be possessing the wonderful truth, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to make it all happen. So therefore, and while you're on that part, I do it again because you know it. 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, First Corinthians in chapter 2, and you will note, again tying it all together a little bit, verse 9, as it is written, what do you know that is written? The holy men of God wrote, God spoke and they wrote. Moses, hear me, and he wrote the written. Verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, Isaiah 64. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. No, it's impossible. Our earthly limitation leaves us bankrupt when it comes to heaven. We have AM radio, but we don't have FM. We don't have it. As it is written, the eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them, made ready for them that love him, And so looking for God, we love what God does for us. He places us saved in heavenly places, and we love it. Therefore, verse 10, but God hath revealed it unto us. So all of that, we couldn't know Ephesians unless he gave us Ephesians. And we just read part of Ephesians. And we read it in English. I think we did. We did it. But the meaning of being seated for real That's the Spirit of God. You see the difference? Without it, all you did is read the words. I have heavenly resources. Well, show me them. Tell me how your heart has grabbed them. Tell me how the truth has conquered your heart. And you have it. God. Seated. I am. That requires the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you could just read it for 10 more years. And it will go right by you. Right by you. Only the Spirit of God brings that home to the heart. So without it, Jesus got information. And it won't mean anything. And therefore, being a child of God, being children of God, we don't enjoy being children of God. And therefore, if I was unsaved, I would look out at the churches and I'd say, why do I need to be saved? You're no better off than I am. You don't have anything. You have a job, family, children, whatever, but you've got nothing. No, I need to see that. Is that really possible? The Spirit of God's ministry, that's his wonderful purpose. So therefore, verse 10 again, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save except the Spirit of man? We are humans, understand us humans, and we understand human earthly things. Save the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Yeah, knoweth no man. You can't know the things of God without the Spirit of God. That's a clear statement. So it doesn't make any difference. And that's why all the truth gets down. And since the truth disappears, then you have the enthusiasm to enjoy the truth going down. And the use of the Bible, the understanding of the Bible, keeps getting less and less necessary until we don't need the Bible and we have all kinds of other things to add to the Bible, different theories and practices and ways to do things. We fix worship because worship in a biblical way wouldn't make sense to us. So we have worship with the bells and bell, everything we have, we do it. Sing, jump around, whatever you want to do. And we have all of that stuff. We do it to make church interesting, to make it interesting, but to have it so. And then we talk about our personal needs and our personal problems and how to solve them. And we do that. And we get all tied up in it. And we do that. And then we take drugs by the ton people out there are doing, unfortunately, to compensate. To compensate. That's what we're doing. And the young people look at us worldlings, and they look, what do you got? And then you're taught, and I go to school, and then you teach me all the dumb stuff that's wrong. Teach me all the stuff that makes what this part of the system is made up of, all the dumb stuff we've learned about everything, socialism, communism, Marxism, all of those different things. And we got them. It's part of our world. You say you can't believe that. Yeah, I do. I believe the government should own all grocery stores, and all grocery stores should be free. And all grocery stores should be free, but you will go to the grocery store, and you won't find anything unless you're connected properly. And then they have a back room. Have to have a back room where people that are in can get in and find peanut butter. You got it? You got the idea? System. It's part of our system. Well, so, I get sidetracked. Now, okay, verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, which we read in chapter 8 of Romans. The Spirit of God says, if I'm not in your heart, you're not saved. Not in, just isn't Christ. When you receive Christ, you receive me, said the Spirit of God. And if you didn't get, if I'm not there, he isn't there. That's simple as that. So, Now we've received not, verse 12, the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And it doesn't say you earn them. It doesn't say you deserve them. The Spirit of God is doing what? He's giving you what Christ has made possible. He creates your creator and savior, and God has made it possible in the Lord Jesus to save us in a most wonderful way. And the Father wants us to know him and honor him. And that's a gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't do a thing for it. We were just dead. Just dead. And God saved us. That's amazing. So therefore, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. No, we aren't going to do that. We could easily do that, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what you have to do. And the authority for what we're doing, reading, isn't me, it isn't you, it isn't us. The authority, because I could do it I used to be enthusiastic, and have a lot of energy. Right now, you and I are friends. You got it. Wow. But anyway, God goes in his most wonderful way and teaches in the Holy Ghost, and the authority is the Spirit of God right now. It's not me. It's not you. It's not anyone else. The reason what you're reading, what I just read, and what I'm echoing, without the Spirit of God, it's zero. But it can't be. We just had a nice message. It isn't a nice message. It needs to get to the heart to do a dynamic, dramatic, wonderful work to free us from the slavery and bondage we have to in our old nature that takes everything, keeps everything from us. What's it do? It keeps us dead and not enjoying life, eternal life, bought with a price, not condemned. No one can't be lost, can't be mistaken, can't be misplaced. The Spirit of God's ministry here is going to make it, is here, there. And we're here, and we're going to be there. Who said so? The Spirit of God said so. So therefore, neither can be known for them because they are spiritually discerned. And the Spirit of God has to do it. And if you're not of a mind, if you don't listen to FM, and all you have is AM, all you can talk about, you can play the same message and music on AM, but it won't be the same as FM. And you can have all of that. I can preach it, boy, I'm done. But I never got to FM. I did the whole study, the whole wonderful thing on AM. You understand? So I never got to FM. Never got to it. But everyone's happy because don't you have all AM? We all have AM. So we're all happy because we have AM. We don't want to get way off, go out too hard. I don't understand him. No, because if we're going to add FM, then we're going to have to say, you have to believe. And if you don't trust God as a believer, and you aren't looking to God and understanding God's wonderful saving grace, how are you ever going to understand? You're not going to understand. I got to quit. Are you getting there? We didn't get very far, but I'm trying to help you realistically understand something. Not just say it, you know. The real is that things aren't really where they are. That's what I'm trying to help you. They really aren't where they are, unfortunately.